Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Eating Alone in My Car show with your host. So sad today. Today I'm having a small heart-shaped version, a heart-shaped box, if you will, of Whitman's Fine Valentine Chocolate. I got it at Walgreens. It's assorted, quote unquote, assorted milk and dark chocolates. I actually haven't opened the box yet, but, it says that they are assorted fine milk and dark chocolates. And it's got Snoopy on it. It's got fucking Woodstock flying around with a card. All I can handle right now is Snoopy and Woodstock. That's pretty much like the extent of what I can emotionally handle at this juncture in my life. I've gone back. Over Christmas, I watched the Christmas Snoopy thing. What's it? I don't know. Whatever it is. It's Snoopy's Christmas. Charlie Brown Christmas. It was so good. I never realized how depressed Charlie Brown is. I always had a crush on Schroeder. You know, the musician. I wanted to hit Schroeder when I was like 7. You know, Schroeder was always my boy. So I didn't really spend a lot of time paying attention to Charlie Brown. I think my favorite characters, though, are definitely Snoopy and Woodstock. My husband always says I look like Snoopy and dance like Snoopy. And he calls Pickle Woodstock because he's my eternal sidekick. Even though Pickle, I think, probably looks more like Snoopy than I do. But I don't know. My husband says I'm the spitting image of Snoopy, and that I dance like Snoopy, and that Pickle is Woodstock. So, you know, that's what it is. And we watch that shit on Christmas, when nobody could be the elf, emotionally between the two of us. But anyway, I almost got the Whitman's like regular size sampler today just to really hammer in like the pathos and the emotional pain that I'm feeling, because, well, number one, I mean, what's more, I don't know, there's something really sad about a Whitman sampler. Maybe not a Whitman sampler enjoyed with someone else, but like a Whitman sampler like given to someone as a gift. Like, I remember my grandma Meve used to give my dad, like, she'd give him a Whitman sampler. And, like, then I'd, like, you know, go into the closet and, like, binge eat the Whitman sampler or, like, the Russell Stover sampler or whatever. And then I'd feel, like, bad for, like, binge eating all my dad's chocolates, which I don't even think he was, like, interested in anyway. You know, they were, like, hidden. Like, my mom would hide them, and then I'd, like, binge eat the Whitman sampler. So I, like, almost got one to, like, pour out a little Whitman sampler for, like, my dad relatives, you know, like, who I miss so much. But then I was like, I, first of all, it's just too much chocolate. I will want to eat them all, you know, like if I'm just driving around in the car, like with a whole Whitman sample, like it's too much. And then I saw the little heart and I was like, the peanuts sort of like the Snoopy and Woodstock sort of gave it like, I don't know, it took the pathos and the darkness of the Whitman sampler. Like, I wanted to dive into the women. I think, you know, I was like, dive into your pain. Go there. Like, you know, like, the only way out is through. Through a Whitman sampler darkly. You know what I'm saying? Through the women. Go through. The only way out is through the Whitman sampler. And that may be so. That may be so. You know, catharsis. But sometimes we really only can handle the Snoopy version. You know, in a heart-shaped box. I guess it's like, you know, I don't know, it seems like everyone's doing trauma therapy now and stuff, and like, I don't really know exactly what that is. I mean, I'm sure I've done it in various ways, you know, like I've done EMDR, I've done, you know, whatever, but I guess like Snoopy is like the gentle EMDR version of like, you know, hardcore. Like, I needed to go Snoop, you know, like I think emotionally, I mean, I don't think I could even handle the fact that, like, you know, Grandma Meve had gotten my dad, her son, her beloved son, a Whitman sampler even then. Like, I think I would cry then, you know, like, I don't know. Like, it's like, I was always thinking about, like, that everyone would someday go, you know, be gone, or just like the fleetingness of existence was like somehow captured in that Whitman sampler, you know, the gesture, a gesture of life. Like, is life anything more than a Whitman sampler? You know, what is it? What is lasting? What do we hold on to? What do we have to hold on to? But I don't think I knew at the time that, you know, just how fleeting things were, you know, like I think I could more easily, more readily also make fun of the Whitman sampler a little while binging it, you know, and being like, oh, Whitman sampler. Like, I don't think I knew, like, there was only a certain amount of Whitman samplers you get in this life, you know? There's something about like loss and then more loss, you know, there's something about loss and then more loss. And also like living with illness, I think to some extent, but more about like loss and more loss, where it's like the things that, you know, you think are like, I've talked about this before. I talked about this with the, McDonald's apple pie episode, the things we think are like monolithic, you know, unchanging forever, eternal, you know, they're everything's shifting sands. It's all shifting sands. You know, the Whitman itself, nothing Whitman can stay. But so anyway, so I have my little heart shaped box, and it's so sweet. You know, it's fine. This is like, I'm glad I made this choice. You know, this was a choice. I would even go as far as to say, what do people call it? Self-care. Yes. An act of self-care. An act of this Snoopy as, you know, I'm sure there's a BuzzFeed article already about that, you know, like the New Republic, like how my purchase of a Snoopy heart-shaped box for myself was an act of self-care. Now, would buying the full Whitman sampler be an act of self-flagellation? I mean, in the end, I think it would have been cathartic. I think it would have helped me to purge some feelings. So maybe not, but it would have been a harder road. You know, it would have been a more aggressive attack. It would have been a more aggressive purge. You know, it would have, rather than just sort of like, this is fine. You know, I have chosen the Snoopy. It is what it is. Thank you, Walgreens, for your contribution to my life and for having the Valentine's shit out already. I guess Valentine's Day is like really soon. I don't do Valentine's. I feel like, I don't know, I just said that with a little pride. Like, I don't do Valentine's. Like, as though I'm like better than people who do Valentine's, you know. But I'm not. But you know, there was a moment I think of pride there. Like, you know, like fuck Valentine's Day. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, sometimes we'll do cards, but like, I don't know. It's just same with like, that's how I feel about like a wedding anniversary too. I'm just like, it almost feels like when you have like a certain amount of time sober, you know, is the relate. And then like you relapse and then you have to like restart how much time you have sober. Like that's sort of what getting married feels like. It's like you have a certain amount of time you've been together and then you get married and you start counting from that. No, dude. Count from the beginning, you know, like I want to count from the beginning. I don't want to lose that time. So, that's what that feels like. But, anyway, oh shit, hold on. There's like a cop on a motorcycle. Wait, Huda. Okay. I literally deleted the second half of the thing. There was like 38 minutes worth of heart-shaped Whitman sampler, which was fabulous, by the way. The Snoopy Whitman sampler was fabulous. You know, there was a deep excavation into the experience. I deleted it. And I can't get it back off my app that I use. So I am now phoning it in, as they say, from my house. This is probably going to be brief. Mainly what I was talking about was, well, let's see. I mean, it was an in-the-moment it was an in media res Whitman sampler, heart-shaped mini Whitman's experience. Right now, saying Whitman sampler just makes me want to cry. I was about to say my depression's been really bad. I think my therapist, my psychiatrist is I'm going to change meds. But I kind of don't understand, because it's like, why is it when like shit gets like fucked, then they're like, let's change the meds? Like, shouldn't you do it when stuff's like a little more stable? I guess you wouldn't need to, you wouldn't know you needed to change meds. But I don't know. She wants me to like decrease my Effexor, and then maybe we're going to switch to Wellbutrin. But I'm also, I take the Prozac, I take Prozac and Effexor. I know that sounds so weird, because for those of you who know SSRIs, this is SSRI Corner. I take Prozac and Effexor because if you've read So Sad Today, you know that I used to take just Effexor for many, many years. And then many, many, many years, I should have stock in Effexor. I should at least have like a mug, you know? Like, don't you feel like they should at least give me like, I don't know, just like one of, you know, those like water cup, like those water tumblers, you know, the plastic water tumbler thingies. Like they should at least give me one of those, you know, like give me some product, or like a pen. I mean, it's been a lot of time. I should at least have a couple of Effexor pens. But anyway, so if you read So Sad Today, you know that, I tried to wean off Effexor many years ago and go on Prozac, and I was fine, like all the way titrating down. And then when they got to like the lowest, I had like a moment where I thought that, I saw there was a Marilyn Monroe painting on a wall, and I like felt the existential weight of the world like channeled into her, kind of. Like I felt like she was laughing in the picture, and I felt like she was like laughing and crying with like all of the world's tears and expectations. So thus, in any event, so my psychiatrist at the time, I had already started the Prozac, but so she put me back. So I was on like low dose Effexor and low dose Prozac. And then over the years, like both have gotten slightly higher. But not like the amount of Effexor that I had been on before I was on Prozac. So anyway, so for years I've just been taking Effexor and Prozac. And like, so when I told her, like, a month and a half ago or 2 months ago that my main thing is, I only want to sleep during the day. Like when I wake up, I'm like, sleeping has become my thing. Like sleeping during the day. At night, like I guess because there's less pressure during at night to like have to do stuff. So I'm like, oh no, I don't need to sleep. And there's like more pressure to sleep, but I don't really have insomnia. I mean, I wake up every hour to pee, but it's more like, but I don't have trouble falling asleep. I have trouble staying asleep. Like I wake up every hour. Also, Pickled is doing this like new lip smacking thing. So like that wakes me up every hour. He's like really into like smacking his lips. I don't know. He has like periodontal issues. We got his teeth cleaned and stuff, but it didn't really rectify the situation. Also Pickle's breath like blew away the vet. Like the vet we went to, it was like a whole long story. It was like an emergency thing. It's very hard to get a vet. So we had to go to like this random vet. The vet had been working since like the 70s, and I don't think he had ever encountered breath as bad as Pickle's. And he was like, he's got periodontal issues. And I was like, oh, and I was like, he does. And the vet's like, you don't smell his breath. Like I'm wearing a mask and I smell it. And I'm like, oh, well, I just like thought that was Pickle. So anyway, it was like the top 10 worst dog breath that he had ever encountered. But, so I feel like that was very intimate, and like, I just blew up Pickle's spot, but it's okay. I love his stinky breath. Like you know what I'm saying? Like it's just part of him. So, but I did think it was kind of amazing that it was like the vet who has seen like how many dogs since the 1970s was like kind of shocked by like Pickle's vile smell. So, and also on like the, on like Pickle's diagnosis before he got his teeth cleaned, one of the things on there, it was like his diagnosis, it was like foul mouth odor. Like that's what's wrong with him. Cause he had been, I don't know, it was like a whole long thing. He was like scratching his ear, and I was afraid that he had like had an ear infection or gotten something in his ear. And then the vet said, no, it had to do with like a tooth thing. So then he had to get his like teeth cleaned. It was like a whole thing. Anyway, Chihuahuas have notoriously bad teeth. Where was I? Yeah. Me and my dog, everybody's falling apart here. Everybody's falling apart. Pickle's okay. But so we're all getting old, you know, But so that's, I feel old. I feel old. Like the other day I was in a store and I heard that song. Like I was so much younger, older than I'm younger than it now. I don't know. I think it's like a folk song. I was so much older than I'm younger than that now. And I was like, I really hope that like in a couple of years, I look back and I'm like, I was so much older than I'm younger than that now. Like, I hope that it doesn't continue to just go one direction. I mean, I know like in terms of linear time, it will, but in terms of how I feel, you know, and I guess some of it's just like the malaise and isolation of this time we are in, you know, like I do think, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's, I think I said this last week. It's like, it's, or maybe I said it, maybe I said it earlier on the recording that I just deleted. But I think that, you know, it's like very easy for me to isolate, like as an introvert, it feels very like natural and dare I say like in some ways good, not good, like, but comfortable. It feels comfortable for my social anxiety, right? Like as a default, but I don't think it's good for my soul. You know, I don't think it's good for my spirit. So, all of that being said, so I'm feeling very old, but I think a lot of that is the depression. So anyway, so I told my psychiatrist like a month and a half ago that like just about like my like, oh, I just want to be asleep during the day. Like anything, everything feels like too much, you know, like everything makes me tired. And this is actually kind of, I mean, I guess it's not totally new for me. Like I guess the past couple of years I've maybe been feeling this way. I don't really know. But I guess like I used to, you know, my anxiety used to like, I used to use my anxiety to like medicate that, you know, or maybe I don't really know. I don't know. You know, I don't know. But what I do know is that, I heart bed during the day. I love it. I take a nap every day and it's like, I don't know. I wish that I could either just like, you know, it's either like nap or don't nap. But like, if you nap, then like just nap. You know, but instead, like, I've turned it into, like, this psychodrama. Like, something is wrong with me. You know, like, maybe I'm ill. You know, just, like, a whole, it's become, like, a whole sort of, like, I can't just let myself take the beautiful nap. You know, it's, like, because I guess part of it, the part that concerns me is just that, like, I never don't want to be napping. Like, if I'm doing anything I'm doing, I'm trying to think if there's anything I'm doing that I would rather during the day. Night, it's different. I get like a kind of a burst around like 7 or 8 where I feel like it's like I'm okay with being alive. But like the daytime napping, it's like it, whatever I'm doing, really anything I'm doing, even like superficial bullshit that like I used to kind of use as like a stimulant, like shopping, you know, or like, you know, just like the things that we do that like aren't necessarily like good for us, but we sort of use to like, you know, just sort of jimmy ourselves up, you know, like drugs, like even when it's like a drug type thing. I mean, eating cereal, the only time that I ever like don't feel like I wish I was napping is when I'm eating cereal, chocolate cereal. But yeah, no. So I like just always want to be asleep, you know, and I'm like, well, does that mean I want to be dead? Like, I don't, you know, whatever. It is what it is. It is what it is. It's been an exhausting fucking year. You know, it has been an exhausting year, but I don't want to torture myself about it. Like either want it to be or for it to be or not to be, you know, but I don't know how to not torture. But anyway, so I like talked to the psychiatrist. So a month and a half ago, so she like increased the Prozac and I actually felt like that was, I don't know. I mean, I don't like to talk too specifically about, cause like everyone has a different trajectory with the antidepressants they're on. So like, this isn't like, this is just like, this is my experience, but it like has nothing to do with anyone else's experience, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like we all have different chemistry, but for whatever reason, I felt like when that increased, like, I don't know, maybe I just noticed it more, but I felt like my ideation kind of increased. I like, yeah. And so I don't know, but so I like had, but I like, you know, didn't call her. I just, cause I like want to be like the good client, even when I'm having like ideation, you know, I want to be like the easiest one. I'm like, well, if I'm dead, then like I won't have needs. But so I mean, this is me just being really honest, whatever. So anyway, and I didn't have like a plan or anything, you know, like I didn't have a plan. But you know, I just, you know, I was just like, I was in the bathtub and I was just like, I just want to go be with my dad, you know? But I think a lot of that too was just like, is grief, like not, but like thinking that I should be done with grief, thinking it's all the shoulds, you know, it's all the shoulds that cause the problem. It's not the feeling, it's the thoughts about the feeling, you know? I'm also, I think, like, gonna start doing some cognitive behavioral again, which I think will be good. But I was seeing a therapist who I really, really loved during the time of, like, when my dad was in the hospital and then, like, after he died. But I just feel like but her modality was more, like, psychodynamic. And I just think I need, like, CBT, ACT, and I don't know. So I'm going to do that. So I think that'll be very helpful because I can tell there's a lot of narrative churn in my mind about these experiences. But anyway, so my therapist is like wants me so or a psychiatrist. So we're like reducing the effects are now as like a and she wants me to do like Wellbutrin. I don't know. Like we're going to reduce, go lower, go lower, go lower, go lower. And then, you know, titrate me off and then ostensibly. But I don't really know. But I sort of just feel like I'm like, wait, like, is now a good time? But yeah. And like, the other thing is I'm like, well, maybe it is okay. Like I'm a sensitive person. I have depression. Like I'm taking care of, you know, I'm not having like ideation and not telling anyone or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not like, I don't have a plan. Like maybe it's like, I don't have to beat myself up for all of this and be like, maybe it's just like, maybe it's okay, you know, to feel the way I feel. Maybe it's okay to feel the way I feel. Like, maybe it's okay that all I want to do is sleep, you know? I mean, hopefully I can feel better. Like, yes. Because it was funny, because when I was talking to my psychiatrist this time, I was like, well, do you think I should be worried? And she's like, well, no, it's not worried. It's just we want you to feel better. And I was like, oh, that's nice. Like, it's not like I'm doing something wrong or like bad or that I have to like worry, you know, like or there's danger, right? Like, it doesn't have to be a thing of fear, you know, because I think I just interpret it like I'll interpret all feelings through like a fear or wrongness thing, you know, which is what's one thing that's hard about depression, because it's like people who have depression are already pretty we're hard on ourselves, you know? And then like, so to be hard on yourself about the depression, it's just like, oof. I also like, I read this book. It was okay. I wouldn't recommend it, but there were like, I'll tell you like the couple of things. So it was like, so is this mindfulness way through depression? I don't think I like mindfulness. I feel like mindfulness makes me feel worse because if you're a person who's like very introspective and like spends a lot of time thinking about themselves, I was like, I don't need to spend any more time thinking about myself. Like, I just felt like it was like, I don't know. I felt like the mindfulness component was like too much focusing on the self. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why I like to do the meditation modality I do. I do TM. I think that like, you know, as I've said before, there's a million wonderful meditation modalities. But for me personally, I do like the TM for myself because basically it's like, the thing about TM is it's like, it's loosey goosey and it's very like, anytime I ask like one of my meditation teachers, like, I'm like, is it okay that this happened? They're like, yeah, it's great. It's great. It's great. You know, like anything's great. They're always like, it's great. It's great that, and like my mind is not a mind that's like, it's great. You know what I'm saying? My mind's a mind that like is looking to like school itself. So I think to like not have to be obedient during meditation. I mean, there's like a mantra and, you know, there's the things that that one does in TM. Like it is you know, there you do learn it. But I don't know. I just feel like there's something about it that's like you're sort of like not really relaxing into it, but sort of like, transcending, right? And if you have thoughts, you have thoughts. If you don't have thoughts, you don't have thoughts. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if you like feel connected, you feel connected. But if you don't, like if you don't feel like good after your meditation, the meditation is still like functioned, you know, it's just like taking the stress out. Like that's basically what it's doing. It's like a washing machine. I'm just quoting my meditation, the guy who taught it to me, who looks like a garden gnome. Shout out Denny. Adorable man. But anyway, so I don't know. It is what it is. But the mindfulness book, there were like a couple, there were like one or two pieces that I thought were really interesting. So I guess I'll just, let me see. I think I actually probably highlighted them. So I'll share them with you. And if you're interested in the book, it's called The Mindful Way Through Depression. Like if you like mindfulness, I gave it a 3 on Goodreads. I gave it 3 stars. I always feel like a 3-star review is like more insulting than a 1-star. Like as a writer, if I get a 1-star, it's like, it's fine. But if I get like a 3-star, like if I get a 1-star, I'm like, ooh, my work was polarizing. Like they really hated it. They felt something, you know, or they have like an axe to grind or it just wasn't for them. But if it's a 3-star, you're just like, eh. Because I know that 5 is supposed to be amazing, 4 is supposed to be very good, and 3 is supposed to be good. But I kind of feel like 3, like, no. Like, 3 is not good. 3 is like, it was, when I do it, it's like 3 is like, it was fine. It was okay. It was okay. 5 is like, yes, I would love this and would recommend it. And 4 is anywhere from like, it was pretty fucking good to like, well, it was kind of a 3, but I didn't want to give it a 3-star because, like, I like this author. Like, this book I just read called Divorcing by Susan Taubes, which was a book that was supposed to be called To America and Back in a Coffin, which is such a great title, but her publisher wouldn't let her name it that. And, like, the first section I, like, fucking loved. The second 2 sections I didn't love as much, but I, like, because I loved the first section so much, I was like, I'm not giving this book 3 stars. It's getting 4 stars, you know? Because I just, like, loved it. And I also just, like, love her. But anyway, I mean, she's dead. But, okay, so here is the part. So anyway, so I gave this a 3 stars, which for me means, like, fair. You know? But self-critical thoughts are extremely powerful and potentially toxic. Yes, I know. I've been living with them my whole life. Okay, here's one that's like kind of what I was saying before, but this isn't the part I was looking for, but I like this. Unhappiness itself is not the problem. It is an inherent and unavoidable part of being alive. Great. Rather, it's the harshly negative views of ourselves that can be switched on by unhappy moods that entangle us. It is these views that transform passing sadness into persistent unhappiness and depression. Once these harsh negative views of ourselves are activated, not only do they affect our mind, they also have a profound effect on our body. And then the body in turn has a profound effect on our emotions. But that wasn't the part. But I don't know. I highlighted that part because I just felt like, oh, like, okay. So all the tireding, you know. The tireding. It's like I'd rather be asleep. Also, my friend was like, do you have a weighted blanket? And I was like, no, I've heard about these weighted blankets, but I don't have one. And then I was like, ooh, I'm going to save up to get like a nice weighted blanket. I've never even like felt one, but suddenly it like gave me a purpose in life. I was like, oh, okay. Like I want, and then I was like, wait, I don't know if I should make my bed like any of a nicer place to be. Like, I feel like my bed needs to like not be like, I don't know. But I fucking like love, like when I just, it's weird. Cause when I lay down at night, like I'm not excited, but like during the day, when like I put on my little sleep mask and I put on my like my favorite YouTube channel, which is, I'll give a shout out to it. My favorite fucking sleeping, because insomnia relief. Okay, let's see. Wait, hold on. Oh no, now it's gonna play. Wait, hold on. Hold on. It's Sleep Tube. Sleep Tube Hypnotic Relaxation. I love the person that's the composer of Sleep Tube. It's so good. So I put on my Sleep Tube YouTube. I put on my mask, I burn some like, I put some lavender oil in the old diffuser, and it's like, why would you want to be doing anything else? Why would I want to be anywhere else? That is the question. It's not to be or not to be. I mean, that is the question, but it's like to nap or like, yes, to nap. You know what I'm saying? Like to fucking nap. Yes. So then I'm like, oh God, like, is there a room where I sleep? Like, is there mold? Like, I don't know. I'm just, but really, maybe it's just, I'm depressed. I have reason to be depressed. It's okay. Like, maybe it's just, it is what it is and it's okay. But I don't know. So that's what I'm saying is like, it would be nice to, if I'm going to be taking these naps, you know, and it's not like I sleep the whole day. I take, you know, it's like an hour and a half. Used to be an hour, now it's an hour and a half, you know,
I'm still getting stuff done. It's just like, you know, shit feels like a fucking slog. Anyway, whatever. It's depression. It's the depresh. But so, okay, so I can't find the part that I was going to tell you. But the other part that was interesting is that there's something called the gap, which is there's a gap between like where we think we should be or how we think we should feel and how we feel. You know, and we scramble to rectify that. And it's actually in that comparison between how we feel and how we think we're supposed to feel, right? So not just like our feeling and the narrative around it, like of, but like also like really what we believe, like how we believe we're supposed, that's like what causes a lot of the exhaustion, because we're like struggling to like, you know, get to that place. And it's like, what's wrong with me, right? So it's the gap. It's the gap between expectation, which is always prepared, you know, which is always like the precursor to disappointment. But it's that gap between expectation and where we are that is like, that's the fucking doozy. But I mean, it's like, who the fuck like masters that? You know, certainly not someone with my mother. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is like a lifetime effort. But it was an interesting, I did think that was really interesting, you know, that it's like that gap, right? That gap is, you know, like the should versus the where I am, right? Because like if I were just like, okay, I am, and it's funny too, like if I were just like, okay, I'm a woman who naps every day now. Woman who naps every day, takes a nap, you know, and immediately, like, my first thing I want to say, like, then, you know, what comes up is like, well, I'm still getting my shit done. You know, like, I have to, but what if I'm not? What if I wasn't? What if I don't? Wouldn't that be okay too? You know? I mean, I need to provide, but like, you know, for my little fam, but like, even like beyond, but like, even if, it's like the only person putting all this pressure on me is me, right? Like the ball hasn't even been dropped yet. And I'm worried about dropping the ball, you know? So I don't know. I guess that's where, what the challenge is. But I guess I also feel like it's like, well, how much is like, okay, like how much should be accepted, you know, and how much is like too much exhaustion, you know, like how much is, and that's what I don't know. That's what I don't know. And I know there's no like litmus for that, you know, like there's no like official like guide to too much napping or not. But, you know, I guess different doctors and different therapists would have different perspectives and different psychiatrists. But it was interesting to hear my psychiatrist be like, well, no, it's not about worrying. It's just like, we want you to feel better. I don't know. But I'm just like, is this even going to work? I feel like, I don't know. I already see me not being able to get off the Effexor. Maybe that's negative thinking, but whatever. We'll see. More will be revealed. It always is. Yeah, so sorry about the deletion. And I don't know. What am I wishing you? I'll wish for you what, like, I should wish for me, which is maybe just let yourself be a little more. Maybe just let yourself be a little more. Or, like, get the information, you know? Like, I need to, like, get the information, like, even though, again, there's no limits. But it's like, is this okay? Like, is it okay? My husband keeps telling me it's all okay. He's very, it's all okay, you know? Very, very. Like, he, like, I'm like, but don't you, like, feel like it's weird how much I'm napping? And he's like, well, he's like, or I'm like, don't you feel like it's weird that I'm still grieving? And he's like, it would be weird if you weren't, you know? But, like, I don't know. So that's good. At least I didn't like marry my mom, but, you know, but like from a health perspective, I don't know, you know, what is okay from a health perspective and what needs addressing. And then, but then also just like, but within that, you know, sort of, which I'm sure differs for everyone, but within that, like just letting myself be a little,
So that's what I'm wishing for you. I'm wishing you to just let yourself be a little more this week. And, you know, these are not to be like, these are hard times, but like, I mean, I don't know about you, but shit feel bleak to me. So anyway, that's the story. And maybe they're not hard times for some of you, and that's great. You know. But anyway, I'm wishing you, regardless of whether things are going great or you're having some struggle internally, wishing you to go a little easier on yourself. And I'll see you on the flip side. That's all. Bye-bye.